T-Mobile has an exclusive bundle for customers 55 and up.
I'm Sarah Bowl.
Yeah, I'm Frank Bowl.
A reliable network is key for us. And with T-Mobile, it's been wonderful. And going to the 55 plus plan saved us so much money.
A lot.
And that's important. Trying to keep costs down. The home internet's been perfect. It's fast. It's quick. The setup was so easy. It took less than 15 minutes.
It was like, ta-da! If you want simplicity, coverage, reliability, you want the whole package, T-Mobile has it.
Right now, T-Mobile customers 55 and up can get two phone lines on America's best network, plus America's fastest 5G home internet for just $30 each.
$30 per month each line with auto pay plus taxes and fees. Minimum age 55. Pricing for home internet rely on 2 lines of Essentials Choice 55. $35 connection charge per line required. Best mobile network and fastest 5G home internet based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence data 2H 2025. All rights reserved.
Hey, this is Richard Deitch, the host of the Sports Media Podcast. If you're interested in what's happening with all the places where you consume sports, the Sports Media Podcast has you covered.
I've been turning down interviews all week. Hoda Kotb reached out, Oprah, George Stephanopoulos. So I said no. I was booked on the Deitch Podcast before the Taylor Swift phenomenon. I must live up to my responsibility.
Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, it's 3 o'clock.
95.7 The Fan presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, welcome in. 1 hour down as we are here live on The Drive on The Fan. And we're going to open up the phone lines to you. 713-572-4610. You can join us. Again, I want you to have this thought in mind. Do you believe in your thought process? If the Texans are unable to get to the space they're trying to get to, get past that divisional round, bust their head through that glass ceiling of the divisional round, in your mind, do you think it'll be because CJ wasn't good enough? Is that in your mind what you would predict the reason that they wouldn't make it, right? Like, we knew if the Rockets weren't going to make it, probably because they couldn't shoot. But where is the thought process there? And I want to open up the phone line, 713-572-4610. Tyler will get you on. Why do you think it will be the reason? What do you think the reason will be if the Texans aren't able to make it to the AFC Championship game? Because they have for the most part, a team that is very, very capable of doing that. Now, they did get some really tough news today, and if you missed it, as we've talked about it, since it's happened right here on The Drive, Jaden Higgins is going to be out for the season, tore his ACL, and Clint, according to, and this is tough, by the way, Keenan Allen just signed with the Colts a couple days ago. That could have been an option. But coming from Aaron Wilson, it reports, Clint, that they got Jalen Noel from a hamstring and right pinky injuries this week. The plan is to ramp him up and to get him back to where he was in the spring, where he had some success. Receiver Jarrett Wayne, who caught a touchdown against the Chargers and is having his best camp, his arrows pointing up. That is somebody they really like. Xavier Hutchinson as a possession, Xavier Hutchinson's progression after he had career high production last year. And then obviously they're going to lean heavily on guys like Nico Collins and Dalton Schultz. And I will think the other tight ends as well. But that's where we are right now. Jaden Higgins out for the season. We'll see what they do moving forward. But, yeah, guys like Jalen Noel, Jarrett Wayne, you kind of mentioned it earlier, Xavier Hutchinson, those guys most definitely got to step their games up.
Yeah, I mean, look, if you look at where the Texans are, I think it's not a panic because it's easy. Xavier Hutchinson moves right into Higgins' role. Which we've seen him do plenty of time and do at a very high level. We've seen him go out and make plays that changed the season with catches against, what was it, the Chargers, and there was another big one somewhere along the way. But you're plenty capable of filling the role. You're plenty capable of executing the offense. I think the big piece here is your explosiveness, your playmaking ability, your red zone threats. I think you just took a hit in all of the above positions. But right now, as you move forward in the near future, Xavier Hutchinson just becomes a bigger piece of what you were trying to do. And like you said, Jarrett Wayne, it's no longer, hey, man, can you make that fifth wide receiver spot? It's, hey, you've had a great training camp. You've appeared to create chemistry with every quarterback that you play with. You appear to be quarterback friendly. You make big plays in the red zone. And now you got to step up and show that you can do it on Sundays in more of a prominent role with this offense. I think when you talk about Higgins and Noel in a hamstring, and then you talk about Tank with the issues he's had, I think to bank on those guys to come back any sooner than they already were because Higgins got hurt, I think is a mistake. So it's definitely the guys, Xavier Hutchinson, in that crew that's got to take the next step, which we've seen them do it before. And hopefully they'll be able to do it again.
All right. That's the news of the day. Obviously, Jaden Higgins out for the season. All right. We've got some folks on the line, 713-572-4610. We'll get to you in a second, but I do want to get your thoughts on this. And I want to get your thoughts on this, Clint. As you know, we've been hearing this so much, man, if CJ, is able to just play, you know, okay, if CJ is just able to go through the year and not hurt the team and can play at a certain level. We've heard names like Ryan Tannehill and Alex Smith that the Texans will be all right. And I'm wondering from you and the people, but you first, Clint, when you kind of close your eyes and think about if it doesn't work, if the Texans aren't able to get past that divisional round, because we saw it in 2003, the first year, Clint, when they lost to the Ravens, I think it felt like it was just really experienced and maybe just not ready for that moment in that game. I think the next year against the Chiefs, the O-line clearly was the huge thing that jumped out. They got sacked eight times in the final game against the Chiefs, and it was just an issue all year long. Only Caleb Williams was hit and sacked more than C.J. Stroud. And then last year, you just have to be clear and honest about it, C.J. Stroud just put the ball in harm's way and on the ground way too often, and that was the glaring thing that jumped out. If it doesn't work this year, Clint, when you close your eyes, what's the reason for you that you think, just looking at everything you've seen, they would fail to get to that goal?
Wow. I think C.J.'s down the list. I think CJ's well down the list.
That's interesting because most people, it seems like he is at the top of the list on a lot of things.
I'm assuming you're asking. I mean, like last year when it was just a bomb and he was clearly the reason
that you couldn't.
Yeah, no, I'd be shocked if that happened again with CJ Stroud. The reality of it is CJ. It's very safe to like CJ Stroud. It's very safe to think CJ's going to have a good season. CJ's going to have a good season. Right. The question is, can it be great? The question is he franchised? The question is, do you pay him $60 million? Right. I don't expect. I'll be shocked if at any point in time this year we see the C.J. Stroud that we saw in the playoff game. I will be shocked if the Texans don't make the playoffs. So I think they're going to be there. I would be shocked if the Texans, when they exit the playoffs, whenever that is, if it's at the hands of C.J. Stroud turning the ball over at a historical level. Like that is far down the list. I think there's two things offensively. We could talk about injury, like a severe run of injury to the defense, it knocks you damn near completely out of maybe even the playoffs. But I think when you look at the offense, I think there's two things that are above C.J. Stroud for sure, and there may be three. Number one, if they can't run the football, and I'm not talking about just, you know, if they can't run the football and be one of the better rushing football teams in the league, then they're going to struggle offensively. They're still going to win 10 or 12 games, but they're going to struggle to beat teams in playoff win-or-go-home type of moments that are worth a damn, right? You run into another Pittsburgh Steelers, you can win in the first round, but when you run into a team that's worth a damn, you're going to get beat like a stepchild, no doubt about it. So I think the run game, number one. Number two, I think it's second-year play caller Nick Caley. If he can't get creative, if he can't do more with less, if he can't, If his quick game and screen game isn't enough to complement this run game and force a defense to play defense sideline to sideline, line of scrimmage to goal line, then I think that's more of a reason why this team doesn't take the next step. So if we're just talking about offensively, I would put C.J. Stroud third. I would say it's a distant third. I just don't see that being the reason that the Texans don't have success, regular season or playoffs, to be honest.
Yeah, I don't. Like when I close my eyes and I think, like, what's gonna be the thing that hurts him? Like when we talked about it 2 years ago, like I think we all knew at some point, man, I don't know if that offensive line is gonna hold up. And it didn't. Like, yeah, that was not a surprise. We saw it all season long. Like, that is going to derail them, is that offensive line. The way that I see it right now, Clint, is, and I think it just became bigger today with the injury, and that is, are they, as an offensive unit, and I think this points a lot to the coordinator, are they, as an offensive unit, going to be able to factor well against good defenses, right? And I think there's just going to be many points whenever, to me, they lose, and it's not going to be just like, to me, one person. It will be, damn, they just didn't really have any answers. Like, there was just they just didn't have any answers to what these defenses were doing to them. And so to me, I would think we would be looking at, damn, not just one player, but maybe the overall offense, which probably points more to the coordinator. So I just, I don't think CJ will be the reason. I'd be surprised if he were the reason like he was last year. Last year, he was. There was nothing else more glaring than what he did in the postseason. But I think it would be an overall thing to where you look at it and you're like, man, this offense just isn't good enough. You can just see it.
Well, if all encompassing, right? I mean, I think when I talk about not being able to run the ball, that's obviously concludes the offensive line. To your point, last year it was the O-line not being able to handle the pressure. C.J. Stroud reacting in a way in which he turned the ball over. Obviously, the injuries were part of it. I just don't know. I don't know that we see anybody hung up on that part of C.J. Stroud at this point with what we've seen in training camp. I think is mistaken. I just don't see that being the major problem. I would argue, even if you given the same circumstances again, he would respond differently and not turn the ball over as much. This is a time with as many times as he put the ball on the ground, whether it was fumbling or turning it over through the air. You could eliminate a good chunk of those just by working ball protection all offseason as a quarterback. And so, yeah, I don't see that being a problem. There's going to be some folks that got to answer some questions at the end of this thing. I don't suspect that it's going to be C.J. Stroud.
All right, Andre, let's let you jump in here, man. When you look at this season, if the Texans aren't able to get past the divisional round, what do you think will be the reason?
Clint, Ron, what's going on, fellas?
What's good?
Well, I kind of side with Clint. I think it's a little low-hanging fruit to say that C.J. will be the problem, where the underlying issue is the last 3 years in the playoffs, we had wide receiver issues, whether it's King Dale not participating, whether it's Stephon Diggs and Nico Collins being hurt, and, you know, so on and so on. Yes, it was the inexperience, as you mentioned earlier on. It's always something, but I would think that the wide receiver depth might be the biggest issue with that. You know, that's just something. Yes, of course, the offensive line, it has issues. Yes, of course, we couldn't run the ball, but I feel that kind of goes hand in hand. Nick Haley has to come on. He has to come with it this year, fellas. I'm sorry I'm so talkative. I'm kind of nervous, but I wanted to say one more thing before I go. The drive is live.
There you go. There you go, man. There you go. Steve, in your mind, jump in on this. If the Texans aren't able to reach the goals that they have, when you look back, what do you think right now is going to be the reason?
Come on. I'm on, guys.
Yeah, you're on. Go ahead, Steve.
Oh, God. Well, shoot. Well, man, I'm sorry, right, man? First of all, man, hey, man, I love you guys. But seriously, I think it has something to do with C.J. Stroud is in the middle of my list. I personally think that it's between the two Nicks, Nick Caserio, Nick Haley. I honestly feel like they're one and two because I have a feeling that Nick Caserio has a vision and what he wants his offense to rely on. And I'm going to be honest with you. I think it's built on precision. And that's a very dangerous game to play, is to be precise all the time. And we lack overall just offensive speed. That's always going to be something that's going to change the fortitude of the game. And I just think that personally between Kaylee and Caserio, I think if Kaylee falls flat, I think you really got to consider Caserio's job. I think it's around that time. I think he's taking all the reins from D'Amico for even having an input on this offense. And I just want to know, you know, what you guys think about that. And along with the team overall ability to make explosive plays, cause I think things are just a little slow. So I want to know what you guys think.
All right. Appreciate the call, Ed. Yeah, I mean, I don't think Caserio is in any kind of trouble right now, unless it just absolutely blows up in his face. So I don't think he's in any trouble. I think he's got a great relationship with the owners and the decision makers, and he is. You look at the last 3 years, what he's been a part of, he's done a good job. I think people are starting to get to a point where they are frustrated about where the Texans are right now. So, yeah, I mean, I think that they need to make a move.
Look, Ron, when you got offensive line problems that you've been unable to fix, whether it's D'Amico or Caserio, take your pick, right? Yeah, there's been a couple of good draft picks, but your offensive line is still struggling. There's still turnstiles at two or three positions. Right, and now all of a sudden you've decided to go with Nico Collins and a bunch of young unproven cats at the wide receiver position, and one of them appears to be out for the season. One of them we haven't seen because of finger injury and a hamstring injury, and now you're down to depth guys and Jarrett Wayne, who's best known for taking the legs out of Tank Dell in Kansas City. I mean that's what you're down to when you choose to go that route and put stock in unproven guys and pass on other guys. I get it. It's football. It's built. It's roster construction. You got to do it. But when that's the route you choose offensively, and an injury sets you back, after multiple injuries set you back last year in the playoffs, you know there's got to be some kind of consequences and repercussions. So you decided to come into this year and ride with a couple of youngsters and an injured Tank Dell, and it hadn't worked out for you. Yep. You got to make some moves and make some big moves and make this work.
All right, it's Wednesday. Let's do a little stock up, stock down as we go into preseason game number two. Who is your stock up? Who is your stock down with the Texans? That's next.
I'm going to pump those numbers up. Those are rookie numbers.
Baseball has always been a game of inches. Now, it's also a game of seconds. T-Mobile and MLB have teamed up to bring ABS Challenge to all 29 ballparks across the U.S. This isn't a minor upgrade. This is the most significant new technology in the history of the sport, and it's powered by T-Mobile. With every pitch thrown, ABS Challenge uses real-time precision to verify the call, giving them the support they need. No delays, no guesswork, just accuracy at the speed the game demands. Thanks to ABS Challenge, T-Mobile is helping power the moments that define the game. When performance and reliability are non-negotiable, MLB turns to T-Mobile. That's not a coincidence. That's what happens when the most innovative network in the country powers the most data-driven sport in the world. T-Mobile powers MLB's most ambitious technology, and America's best network powers your connection to baseball, home or away, every pitch, every game, every day. T-Mobile, it's better over here.
Major League Baseball trademarks and copyrights are used with permission of Major League Baseball. Visit MLB.com. T-Mobile, best mobile network in the U.S., according to Ookla speed test, based on analysis by Ookla of speed test intelligence data, first half 2026. Ookla trademarks used under license and reprinted with permission.
Drink up, baby. Fantasy Football Happy Hour is here to get you wins and have some laughs. Matthew Berry here, and my podcast, Fantasy Football Happy Hour, has the sleepers, busts, and starts and advice you need to win your league. We're diving into the tape, we're crunching the numbers to bring you sleepers, busts, weekly starts and advice. Whether you're defending a title or desperately avoiding last place, I've got you covered every single weekday. The bar is open. It's Fantasy Football Happy Hour with Matthew Berry, wherever you get your podcasts.
It's in this racket.
Every season brings highs.
I'm in my drop top, cruising the streets.
And lows.
No way, because I know one of you two assholes would have done the same thing that I just did.
Are you kidding me?
This trio always has eyes on the market in H-Town. It's time to buy or sell. It's stock up.
The arrow's pointed up.
Stock down.
They're selling, Mortimer.
On The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Every Wednesday afternoon right here on H-Town's number one afternoon drive sports talk program, The Drive with Clint Sterner, Ron the Show Hughley, Tyler Milner here with you. We do a little stock talk. Today we're talking more Texans. Texans preseason action continues tomorrow can hear the game between the Raiders and the Texans right here on these airwaves. Leave kickoffs at 7, pregame starting at 4 o'clock right here at 95.7 The Fan. And we're talking Texans ahead of preseason game number 2. We're on the show, Hughley. Stock down for you for these Texans at the moment.
Stock down. A player that isn't being talked about a lot, but I would stay, and I want, and listen, before people lose their minds, I'm not saying this guy's done as a player, but just stock down right now. Caden McDonald, Cal. All right, now you hold on. I'm going to set something that got me in trouble. But
tell
no.
him, bro. Caden
McDonald.
Easy.
You start to look at, you know, and it's hard, maybe unfair to compare him to, you know, the other rookies. But he does play a tough position to come in as a rookie. But I think, I'll be honest with you, I think the other two play tough positions to come in as a rookie, especially Big Red on the other side. But I thought potentially he'd be further along than he is right now. And he's going to be in the rotation, you would think, but you're just not hearing a ton from him, not hearing a lot from him. And I ain't going to lie to you, Clint. One thing was telling to me was DeMeco after the game. If you listen to DeMeco after the game about Keelan Rutledge, you listen to DeMeco after the game about Marlon Klein. Hell, DeMeco's the first thing he said at the halftime was Marlon Klein. You know what his first words were about Caden McDonald after the game when he was asked about him? My man said, "Yeah, I gotta take a look at the tape." he hit him with a "Gotta take a look at the tape," and we got him some valuable reps because he needs valuable reps.
You guys, good.
Yeah, I just like it. Just seems like he's just not, you know, especially compared to the other guys who went in the first and second round. His impact is going to be a little while. So I'll go stock down a little bit right now for Caden McDonald.
There's Ron the Show Hughley's stock down. We're talking about these Houston Texans preseason game number 2 tomorrow night against the Raiders. Let's get Clint's stock down now for the Texans currently. Dirty Red?
Well, this one's when you look right now, boy, there's several of them that could be stocked down. But I'm going to go with Wyatt Teller. Again, there's the money out there. $8+ million a year, I believe it was, in a 2-year deal. A good chunk of that guaranteed, and Wyatt Teller appears to be fighting for his life. And not only fighting for his life, but you know, the team is thinking about moving their first round draft pick rookie center that carries the identity of this offensive line. Instead of letting him be the centerpiece and be the center and be the mouthpiece of what's going on, they're having to move him to guard, and not because he can't play center or not because the backup center is necessarily one of the best 5, but because the left guard in Wyatt Teller appears to be a problem in finding the best 5. He appears to be really struggling to hold a spot in the top 5 offensive linemen. That is, boy, to go out and have options with free agents that make anywhere from $8 to $12 million a year, and land on guys that have to be fighting for their job. Again, not because the guy behind them is a better guard, but because they're just not top 5 on the team. That is a tough pill to swallow. So I think stock down right now. I don't know if it's a technique issue, and maybe he'll grasp it. I don't know if it's a he can't play any longer issue, and he's not going to be a part of this offensive line. But either way it goes, I got to go with Wyatt Teller, boys.
All right, we got them negatives out of the way. You are tuned in right now to The Drive with Sterner Hughley, myself, Tyler Milner, with you riding on a hump day, H-Town's number one afternoon drive program. Now for the positives ahead of preseason game number 2 for these Texans as they face off the Raiders tomorrow night. Stock up for the Texans. We're on the show, Hughley.
All right, man, my stock up for the Texans, and this is, I promise you, I had this in here before we found out the news this morning. I had this in there before we found the news about Jaden Higgins, and that is Jarrett Wayne. I felt like he was, and I said it after the game, he is going to be an issue for them to try to not get on this team, because I don't know that Jarrett Wayne's somebody, the way he has played and shown, that you can just stash him on the
P-Squad?
Yeah, the practice squad. And I think other teams would be interested in maybe bringing him on their roster. And now, especially with the injury to Higgins and the injuries and the uncertainty behind him with Tank Dell and Jalen Noel, who's not even been able, these two not even been able to hit yet, no contact yet. So I think Jared Wayne's definitely going to make the team damn near now. And they might need him to be Reggie Wayne, be honest with you, the way these guys are going down like flies. So I think Jared Wayne, his stock is way up right now.
And for you, Dirty Red, Clint Sterner, live here on The Drive on a Wednesday afternoon in the summer for these Texans. Stock up, Clint.
Same room, different player for me, Xavier Hutchinson, right? Look, Nico's going to be Nico. Dalton Schultz is going to be Dalton Schultz. Even if we land in more 12 personnel and you lean into Marlon Klein or Foster Moreau, however you want to slice it, even if you lean into just needing two wide receivers, Xavier Hutchinson, I think, is going to take a big step forward or at least take a big portion of the responsibilities that Higgins was shouldering, I think now falls on Xavier Hutchinson. You leave Nico alone, let him do whatever your plans were with Nico before. I would imagine they stay the same, although I disagree with it. I'd imagine they stay the same, and Xavier Hutchinson is going to have to step up. And they quite frankly, they got a ton of confidence in Xavier Hutchinson, and I expect him to make that transition well. He's been getting a hell of a lot of run in training camp anyway. So this is where a guy like Hutch earns his keep, man. This is the guy, the third receiver on a team that can jump right in and take one of the top two guys' position when need be and at least execute the offense. Not as explosive, not as quarterback friendly of a target, not going to create the separation, not going to be the red zone threat, but definitely a guy that you can trust to operate moving forward at that position. So I think the stock up right now is for Xavier Hutchinson, Ron. I don't know that we've seen him to start a season, you know, be in a position to play a prominent role and to look, the guy opposite Nico Collins is probably going to have a lot of opportunity, you would think. Mm-hmm. And so I don't know that we've seen Xavier Hutchinson from jump have this kind of opportunity. So the stock up right now is through the roof for me for Xavier Hutchinson.
All right, coming up, we'll continue, hopefully get to our countdown here as we get closer to the start of the regular season. And I need to bring this to you guys and the people. And you know, I value you guys' opinion. I know Clint will be honest with me. I kind of felt like I was creepy today during the drop-off line at school. And I know you guys will be honest with me.
You're admitting it, the odds are you really were.
It is something I think about. I know Dwayne will be honest with me. Joe, Frank, Rob, the text line, I know they'll be honest with me. Joel over there on Twitch. I just need somebody.
If you gotta ask, you were creepy. If you gotta ask,
I don't think creepy. That's always the case. I feel like I have a high creepy tolerance. All right, I felt it as soon as I got done with it. We'll discuss that.
Baseball has always been a game of inches. Now it's also a game of seconds. T-Mobile and MLB have teamed up to bring ABS Challenge to all 29 ballparks across the U.S. This isn't a minor upgrade. This is the most significant new technology in the history of the sport, and it's powered by T-Mobile. With every pitch thrown, ABS Challenge uses real-time precision to verify the call, giving them the support they need. No delays, no guesswork, just accuracy at the speed the game demands. Thanks to ABS Challenge, T-Mobile is helping power the moments that define the game. When performance and reliability are non-negotiable, MLB turns to T-Mobile. That's not a coincidence. That's what happens when the most innovative network in the country powers the most data-driven sport in the world. T-Mobile powers MLB's most ambitious technology, and America's best network powers your connection to baseball, home or away, every pitch, every game, every day. T-Mobile, it's better over here.
Major League Baseball trademarks and copyrights are used with permission of Major League Baseball. Visit MLB.com. T-Mobile, best mobile network in the U.S., according to Ookla speed test. Based on analysis by Ookla of speed test intelligence data, first half 2026. Ookla trademarks used under license and reprinted with permission.
Are you looking for a pro football podcast that doesn't put you to sleep with spreadsheets or insult you with mindless hot takes? Football is fun. Why shouldn't your football podcast be the same?
Follow and listen to Heed the Call NFL podcast with Dan Hansis and Mark Sessler wherever you get your podcasts.
You're being a real dingo right now.
I'm not being a real dingo.
95.7 The Fan. Live from the West Point Lincoln and West Point Lincoln of Sugarland Studios. Here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, welcome back. We are live here on The Drive. You're listening to us here on 95.7 The Fan, and we appreciate you jumping in with us. A lot going on today. The The Astros will have one of their top pitching prospects make his debut tonight, so stay tuned as we'll keep you ready for that. And if we hear anything more from Lieutenant Joe, we will bring that to you as they this is a game they got to have. They got to avoid getting swept by arguably the worst team in baseball with their young pitching prospect on the mound. So a lot going on there. And then the big news of the day, obviously, Jaden Higgins out for the season with a torn ACL, as we've talked about that. But I said this on the other side, all hands on deck, 713-572-4610 on the text line, YouTube and Twitch can jump in on this. Like, Clinton Tyler, I don't think you understand, like I hate even having the thought of being creepy. Like, one of the real spaces that causes, you know, anxiousness for me is being at the gym and, you know, some of them outfits they be wearing out there, right? You know,
yoga.
So I mean, this is his admission.
Like, it is, like, I never want to be viewed as, damn, that creepy dude is looking. Like, I go out of my way, Clint, to not look at. Like, I'll turn my back. Like, I want them to feel as comfortable as possible. Because I've seen some of you jokers out there. Some of y'all listening to this show right now, driving or at your desk. Y'all some dudes just staring down asses at the gym.
Unashamed.
Like, I don't. Herbert. I never want that. I go out of my way to not be creepy.
But doesn't that by default mean you're being creepy?
I don't think it does.
Like, if a woman walks by you in these outfits, which, by the way, I agree, they are ridiculous. They're so ridiculous that you shouldn't feel creepy looking. But if your initial reaction is, let me not look so I don't look creepy, isn't that an admission to being creepy? Like, I'm on the verge of being creepy.
No, so I think so.
I think it's a space of, I just don't want them to be uncomfortable.
It's chivalrous, if anything.
I don't. Tyler, get the hell
no,
out
no,
of here.
I mean, that's serious. You're purposefully trying to eliminate yourself out of them dealing with all yes. the creepy guys they're already going to be dealing with.
Like, so if you go to a
scantily clad woman walks by you, your thought is not like, well, that's scantily. Boy, that's risky. Your thought is, let me not look creepy.
In certain spaces. Like,
yeah.
when we, you know, we love our good friends at Twin Peaks. I go out, that's another place. I go out of my way to not look like that one gentleman that's there every week that has candy for the girls. I mean,
that's the guy you're trying to not be.
I'm just saying that's the height of
Tyler. He sits at the end of the seat, I think, with a laptop and a bowl of candy. I
mean, playing that defense, baby.
I do anytime I go to places like Twin Peaks, and really Twin Peaks is the only place to go. But anytime I go to places, unless any of you all want to help, want your boy to help you out, but. Like, I go out of my way, like, all right, man, I'm gonna stare at you in your face when you talk to me.
You motorboat.
I swear, I'm going out of my way to not. That's just where
so
I am.
What's the alternative for you? Having to tell yourself to stare in the eyes, what's the alternative for you?
I just want them to be comfortable. That's just.
I think it's chivalrous of you.
That's where I am.
As a gentleman and a scholar.
And I
listen
think,
to Tyler.
Now, do
Tyler,
I,
Tyler's
do
now, eye, Tyler gets a reminder of, like, hey, got my eyes are up here. Like the old junior high reminder. Now, hey, my eyes are up here, Tyler.
Do I sneak a peek? So, you know, who knows? But I'm just saying, like, I want to be a.
So what'd you do? I'm sorry. I didn't mean to get you off track. What'd you do?
So we're in drop-off line, right?
Right. That was just setting it up. I am excited.
We're in drop-off line. Offline, and if any of you deal with this, it's hell, especially with those people in those Honda Odysseys and those Toyota Siennas, those vans. They're come over the cone line. They're going to hit you. It feels like all the time, those moms. But I pull up, and we finally get through it, and there is a teacher, and she's been doing this like 4 or 5 years. She's always out there. And I see her all the time. I've never talked to her. I don't even think I've ever spoke to her. There's maybe been a fake smile high.
I was about to say, you probably give her that head nod, that smirk.
Oh, yeah. If I've walked through first day in the halls or something. But
You know, give me a number, 1 to 10.
Three. I'm not doing that. Three kids.
See, you got it. No, you got to paint
the picture. That's vital to the story.
No, it's got context that's necessary.
It's vital to the story.
Five. All right.
Okay.
Good job, Clint.
Okay.
Okay. Good job.
But she got a haircut, Clint. And she has always had really long hair. She got a haircut.
Yeah, girl.
And I rolled the window down after I dropped the kids off and said, "Hey, that haircut really looks good on you." And she said, "Oh, thanks." And then as soon as I let the window up and I drove off, I'm thinking, man, damn. Is that kind of creepy? I've never said a word to this lady. I've seen her.
Absolutely.
Is it? So it is. It is.
I disagree. Is it creepy?
I did. I saw her. Like, hey, man, that haircut. That is a nice haircut. It was so recognizable. She's had long hair for years. And I'm just like, oh, nice.
That compliment could have made her day, if not her week.
No, I don't, but you're asking a question. Is it creepy?
It is, because I've never said anything to her.
I think for years you've passed this lady and not said a word. And because she gets a haircut and shows her neckline and her earlobes, all of a sudden you want to tell her. I think the real problem here for me, Ron, is what you said. Like if Ron the Show Ugly, the radio guy, would have bumped the window down and just said, "I see you with that new cut," and just kept on rolling. Okay, but the boy, that haircut sure looks nice on you.
That's the on you part, isn't it?
Now
I'm hearing it. It's fine.
She was probably like having serious doubts in her own mind, being all anxious and stressed out about the new look. And some lovely gentleman known by Ron the Show Hughley gave her the confidence she needed.
Courtney goes,
Tyler, here's the reality of the situation.
Courtney just texted in, super creepy.
Yes, I agree. Here's the deal, boys. Yeah. Here's the deal, boys. If she was a super stiff, she's probably at home going, "Yo, I had this really nice gentleman, young black gentleman, told me today how nice he thought my hair. How come you don't ever tell me how nice my haircut looks, hubby?" Right? Or if she had a little something to her, a little spice to her, she's like, "Yeah, this young dude with three kids, he's hitting on me in the damn drive-thru lane today, y'all."
She doesn't have spice. I don't think that's her calling.
Well, that gives you a little out.
And I normally don't do stuff, but I'm like, hey, man, wow.
That was nice.
Like, it is, like, when I, like, it was so distinct. It's just, it's like if people may not know Jesse Watt, if Jesse Watt just came in with, like, that old Halle Berry cut. Like, it's so, for years, that's her hair has been. It was such a change. And, like, I don't know what compelled me to roll that window down. I had dropped those kids off. Like
she probably needed
five
that.
Cars earlier, and I saw her come by, and I said, "Hey, I don't even know her name. I don't know it's Miss. I know. I think she's. I don't know what she is. She's there. She's been there for four or five years. Every time I drop off, she's out there. And I, you know, as I hear myself saying, it looks good on the on you part is probably where the creepiness comes in.
Puck to it.
Maybe all of it. Because there's just a thought. He's never said a word to me.
He's never even looked at me. I didn't even know that he realized that I was even here. For 3 years, he hasn't even acknowledged that I'm a human.
She doesn't even know that I was there. So it's not like she knows. I could be just dropping off for the first time.
No, I think you should roll the window down tomorrow and actually stop and say, "Hey, I'm sorry. I realized that was really creepy of me yesterday. I shouldn't have done it. I'm sorry."
You think I should come back for a second? I don't think so. I think I'm gonna let it go.
I think you should apologize. I think the drive-by on you was I think you should apologize. Yeah. You're going to have to see her every day for the next 6 years. I think you should apologize.
Text line, Courtney's on line one. She's
Courtney's got the red carpet and wanted to get into a controversy.
So that's it. Someone said that's not creepy at all. It's just nice.
Yeah, I'll just be honest with you.
Yes, I said that.
Now someone's texting and now they're calling me Dirty Show. I don't.
Ron is. You got to realize, like Ron, and I could be wrong, but I do spend a lot of time around Ron on a daily basis. Like, Ron is not the guy to go out of his way and speak to someone typically.
No, I'm not.
Like randomly, like I don't think I've ever been with Ron where he just maybe when he's had a couple pops a couple times, but I don't know that I've ever been with Ron where he's like, "Hey man, let me compliment this human being over here. Let me acknowledge this random human over here.
I don't know what possessed me.
I mean, much less in a car driving by.
Yes,
I got to see her, Tyler. I got to see her. I didn't see yours.
Hey, you think of your classic teacher.
I know, but your teacher's one thing, but then going from long hair to short hair, like where it's all of a sudden your neck and you're having to fade the bottom hairline kind of thing. That could be an awfully sexy. She went from like,
well, hey boys.
Yeah, she went from never speaking to that. Yeah, that's thank you, Laura. I appreciate that.
I'm so excited that we're together again.
She went from the stiff that was just waving to all the parent dads as they dropped their kids off to talking like sexy traffic Laura. Yes.
I'm gonna blush every time I see her now, I think. And I'm black and you're gonna see it. All right. What you got coming up,
Glenn? Oh man, the Texans. Major injury news on the Texans front. And yes, it sucks for the player, but the ripple effect that this injury is going to have on the Texans offense, who is in the crosshairs? Who is this going to impact the most? I'm going to have that for you next right here on Sports Radio 610.
Baseball has always been a game of inches. Now, it's also a game of seconds. T-Mobile and MLB have teamed up to bring ABS Challenge to all 29 ballparks across the U.S. This isn't a minor upgrade. This is the most significant new technology in the history of the sport, and it's powered by T-Mobile. With every pitch thrown, ABS Challenge uses real-time precision to verify the call, giving them the support they need. No delays, no guesswork, just accuracy at the speed the game demands. Thanks to ABS Challenge, T-Mobile is helping power the moments that define the game. When performance and reliability are non-negotiable, MLB turns to T-Mobile. That's not a coincidence. That's what happens when the most innovative network in the country powers the most data-driven sport in the world. T-Mobile powers MLB's most ambitious technology, and America's best network powers your connection to baseball, home or away, every pitch, every game, every day. T-Mobile, it's better over here.
Major League Baseball trademarks and copyrights are used with permission of Major League Baseball. Visit MLB.com. T-Mobile, best mobile network in the U.S., according to Ookla speed test. Based on analysis by Ookla of speed test intelligence data, first half 2026. Ookla trademarks used under license and reprinted with permission.
The podcast Campus Files is back with more stories of scandal, crime, and intrigue on college campuses.
It is not hard to destroy a college.
It's almost like a university under siege.
Listen to and follow Campus Files, available now wherever you get your podcasts.